There's no one-size-fits-all guideline for distinguishing between need and greed, between legitimate enjoyment and selfish extravagance. In today's readings, we've always heard Jesus warns us, take guard against all greed. One's life does not consist of possessions. Then Ecclesiastes in the first reading begins with, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Now, when we hear this, perhaps we picture Snow White, self-centered stepmother, asking her mirror, who's the fairest of them all? Or we may associate the word vanity with things like Revlon's ultimate all-in-one mascara, or an ad in GQ magazine for an excessively pricey men's cologne guaranteed to exude irresistible masculinity. I need to try that. Well, such things are examples of what Ecclesiastes means by vanity. But the word's full meaning is far broader and much more complex. With every expenditure, not only of money, but also of time and energy, I think we should ask, how much is too much? And where is God in this equation? Let's think about the fact that everything in this life is fleeting. All around us, rather routinely, businesses fail, political careers go sour, entertainment careers fade, athletic records are surpassed. Some plans by hardworking, ordinary people produce a mere fraction of what they hoped for. So, what's the lesson here? We might say, why even try? Well, that's not the answer. So, what is the lesson here? The lesson is this. Don't become so attached, so wrapped up in something that it takes over your life, becomes your whole identity, and obscures your obligations to God and to others. The answer is balance. All things in moderation. The problem with the young man in the gospel was not the wealth itself, but his intention. If he had been acquiring wealth to share it, God's judgment would have been very different. But he amassed it to secure a cozy life of luxury. His huge cash turned out to be, yes, vanity. Throughout his gospel, St. Luke shows a serious concern for people who are attached to possessions as an unrealistic guarantee of security. Most often, it's rooted in fear and expressed in greed. Possessions are not evil in themselves. Jesus does not condemn owning things, but they're often equated with power. And Jesus points out how all this produces nothing more than a false sense of security. This gospel is one of many places in the scriptures where Jesus urges people to decide where their priorities lie. Elsewhere, Jesus says, Set your hearts on God's kingdom first, and all these things will be given to you as well. And again, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Jesus' parables, unfortunately, don't give us ready-made answers, but they do prompt us to ask questions, questions that help us reflect on the meaning of God's kingdom in our lives. Here's a test. This might help you discover where your heart is. Make a list. Oh, it doesn't have to be written down. You can do it in your head. Who or what you list is, of course, indicative of the person you are. Now, be honest with yourself, because the list is private. No one else will see it, so there's no one to impress. Where is God on your list? If God is not at least high on your list, you might want to think about that and revise it. It's a pity we don't hear what happened to the man so desperate to get his hands on the share of the inheritance. It would be nice to think that he abandoned his pursuit of wealth. It would be nice to think that he and his brother were reconciled and laid aside their differences. Perhaps in the words with which Jesus concludes today's gospel, he saw the importance of making himself rich in what matters to God. It would be good if we would do likewise.